All right, everyone. Welcome to the newest episode of The Jay Davis Show. I'm super excited to have Greg Davidson here with us. Longtime friend. We were just catching up. Originally met 5 years ago in New York City, talking about his new startup that was, at that time, kind of a new idea. I mean, it was just getting started, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think we had launched yet. I mean, the first product we launched, we don't even have anymore. So go figure. But yeah, just like, I mean, like we were saying before, just like you hear people talk about like the crazy stuff that they want to do. And then it's kind of cool to watch, you know, obviously a nice handful of people, especially within our network, actually go and do it. It's awesome. So that goes a million different ways. So it's been an amazing journey.
Dude, it's pretty wild seeing that stuff happen. Well, it's been amazing to see you guys develop. And really, I mean, a lot of the vision of what we talked about 5 years ago over lunch was we want to build a brand around kids and kid products, and you guys have done it. So tell people how you got into that. What's your experience been like, all that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, our journey was definitely not a traditional, especially in the baby space, where I think traditionally you'll hear people say, I have a kid, I have this problem, and so I had to go and solve it. My co-founder and I, we did not have kids when we started the brand. In fact, I was not even married yet when we started work. I was engaged, but not married. What was crazy was I was going through the process of registering for my wedding. And so, right, like I was registering for pots and pans and knives and picture frames and all that stuff. And I've said this a bunch of times before, but I'll say it again. Like when you go through that experience, even though you might be buying the nice version of that thing for yourself for the first time and wanting it as a gift, like you cooked an omelet before. So, you know, you have a perceived understanding of like, oh, this is what makes a nice pot. Or, you know, even if you're in college, right, and you're buying your first mattress for yourself, you know if you like firm or soft. And a good buddy of mine was about to have his first kid and was registering, you know, going through a registry process, but just in a totally different, you know, period of his life. And what became really clear was, you know, he didn't know what he needed, why he needed it, what the products are supposed to even do, when he should be using the products, any of the brands that existed, and ultimately how much should he and his wife be paying. And I think like, just like looking at that, you're like, okay, well, this is an incredible inflection point to involve a person's life. And started to just like survey the scenes, like what were the brands who were heavily involved that you know, I had never heard of outside of maybe the ones that like, right, the Gerbers and the Pampers, kind of like these legacy brands. And it was kind of like one of those things where I literally like by myself walked into a baby store, just checked everything out, and was probably like the creepy dude walking around with, you know, no pregnant wife, not really just like looking at everything. But I think the thing that stuck out to me was there were a ton of brands, but ultimately they were really only known for doing one thing and doing that thing really well. And I think like, you know, look, this is like 2017, you can call like peak direct to consumer. And it just felt like one of those categories that had this huge opportunity where if you can get people to fall in love with the brand as much as they do the product, you can be their brand during this critical moment and ease the process of what things do I need to buy and when do I need to buy them. Right? Like, I say this lately, like I really do feel like Lalo is like the Nike for babies and parents and families. And, you know, ultimately, you know, instead of our athlete being Michael Jordan, it is those parents, right? Like that's who we're building this brand around. And so, and being able to deliver on that. It was really about just like figuring out that market, how we were going to follow that customer through their journey and build amazing products for them and a brand that they can come to trust. So that was kind of like the initial inkling. And then we just said, all right, let's do this.
I love it. No, it's so funny. It's funny on that trip, I met with you and Jordan Nathan, who started Caraway.
Oh my God. Yeah, exactly. We're the same draft class. I always tell Jordan we're the same draft class. And you know, they're obviously doing incredibly as well.
Yeah. No, it's been so fun to see you guys. And at the time you just had a stroller, right? That was
correct.
The first product that you were kind of working on. And
correct.
How have you balanced that? If people want to go to the website, it's meetlalo.com.
Yep. Yep.
LALO. How do you balance? Because I think this is sometimes where people struggle. They get an idea, or they have a really grand vision. And how have you guys balanced? Because I think you guys have done an amazing job of, you both had a bigger vision of, we want to go into this category, and exactly what you just explained of like those 5 or 6 years of a first 5 or 6 years of a child's life. We want to be that chosen brand. But then you also had to come up with products that people would choose individually.
For sure.
How have you balanced that? Because I think that's one of the hardest things entrepreneurs can tackle.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And like, you know, the genesis of our brand was, you know, we launched a stroller first, which we actually don't sell anymore. We've killed that product since then. But the real like thesis behind our brand, or the risk that we were going to take that others didn't, was saying we were going to launch products in quicker succession to ultimately prove out that the customer wanted to come back, not just for the original product they bought, because there was something about this brand that they were gravitating towards. And so very tactfully, about 5 months after we launched the stroller, we launched our high chair, which has really become kind of the tentpole product of our company. And I think, you know, because of what we did was like, what we saw was like over 50% of that stroller customer convert into high chairs. And so we knew there was something there. And so then from there we said, okay, well, our high chair turns into a play chair. What's like the next evolution of continuously growing with them? And then that became the play kit, which was the play chair and play table set. And we saw a huge amount of repeat behind that. And even though, you know, these products, you know, there is a decent gap of time from when they're buying that, you know, that first or second purchase to that third, you know, we figured that we could then build kind of like ecosystems around each of these products to create, you know, more of like an interstitial moment of purchasing and engagement with the customer. So we were really constantly in their lives. And I think, you know, over the first 3 years, like we really only had 3 products. It was our high chair. It was our play kit, which is our play table and play chairs. And then we launched a line of tableware. So like the first little spoons you feed a kid, and a sippy cup, and a set of bibs, and suction bowl, and suction plate. And people, I think, just started getting like, oh, what could this brand mean to me? Like, I might be able to outfit my whole home with Lalo. And that's really what we turned into. Like, our goal is to own the home in this category, and to kind of go, you know, going room to room and expanding our collections and categories to make that decision-making process that much easier of what do I need to buy, and when do I need to buy it, and what's it actually for?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. How has that messaging changed over time? And one of the things I loved when we originally talked was kind of the concept and the idea that you guys wanted to create higher quality products that lasted and weren't just like cheap plastic that you threw away after every kid, but could be something that, and then also timeless design.
You have a good memory. You have a good memory. I don't remember what I did yesterday, but so that's definitely still built into the DNA, is like the value of our products. We try to, as many times as we can, have it extend beyond like the core use case. So, you know, our high chair, when we launched it, it turned into a play chair, like you mentioned, right? We were able to drive additional value. Our high chair now can also turn into a booster seat, and it turns into a play chair still. We launched a play gym that has a secondary use case where you actually can convert it into a full-blown tent that can go in your child's playroom. Our bathtub we just launched, we can start from age 0 to 9 months. It can turn into just a basin. Then you can turn it into actual toy storage that can put in their playroom because it looks so beautiful. And that's definitely been core to our DNA. I think what really the thing that has changed was, I think our brand is less about that and more about this concept of Lalo can really be that brand that's a part of your home with the family, and that being like really the core messaging behind what we do. Because the way we think about product development and how, you know, how we do things, that right to us, like the home is our galaxy, literally, right? So, and if you think about a home, essentially there's solar systems within that galaxy, and each room within the home is a mini solar system to us, right? You have the nursery, the dining room, the bathroom, the kitchen, the playroom, probably forgetting a couple rooms. And so within each of these solar systems, you have your planets, and you can have multiple planets within each of these solar systems or rooms, which are our more, higher price point durable items, like our high chair or a play kit or even the bathtub itself. But then around each of these hero items, you have the moons and stars that go around those items. So the cups, if it's a high chair, the cups, the bowls, the bibs, the plates, the splat mats, etc. And so by creating these really beautiful, almost like capsule collections within each of these planets, the customer kind of understands that, like, I can come to them for a lot more than what I maybe anticipated I would be able to come to them for. And as you see our design language, I think, carry through, no matter what room of the home it's in, I think that's a really special thing that a lot of brands have, you know, have not really tried and or have achieved, that we took kind of the risk and gamble on.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking on the website at the bathtub because I hadn't seen it yet. And it's amazing how it feels like the chair. I mean, it's like an extension. It's totally amazing. I think that's actually a really huge challenge for a lot of entrepreneurs. And so I want to ask how you kind of developed that courage or that strength to the, because I think one of the commonalities I see is that we talk to people about investing or just advising startups.
Yeah.
Is a lot of times they're like, okay, we have this one product that did really well and it became like the tent pole to our whole business.
Yeah.
And then they get, sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's how do we innovate?
Yeah.
What was that process like, and maybe a lesson that you learned during that, of, because I love that analogy of the solar system, and you guys have done such a great job of centering it in the home.
Yeah.
But how did that develop and how did you get the courage to take that first step?
So it's a really great question, and it didn't happen overnight. I mean, like you said, we launched a stroller, right? So to be now a product that's focused on the home is a far cry from where we were going, or at the very least, it kind of seemed like it was a far cry. But you know, our thing was, again, and I mentioned this, can we get that parent to love the brand as much as the product, and would they want to buy from us again? And so I think we noticed that we cracked that pretty early on, and we were very tactful, and I will say taking risk, a lot of risk, that we said, oh, we're going to launch a stroller, and 4 months later, we're going to launch another product. But I think what that did was it cemented very quickly in people's minds that like this was not a one-trick pony. And it also, I think, created a level of validation trust that's sometimes hard to do. And our whole thing was, especially in a baby category, how do you create validation trust when you have none? And sometimes I think taking a risk with trying to figure out like who that customer is as early on as possible and saying we're gonna build to that was a risk. And ultimately it totally panned out for us. It is scary. Like, it's not like every product we've launched has been like a hit from day one of things like we thought it would be. But I think when we wrap it around now of it's part of the ecosystem in which we've built, like we were dead set though early on, like this was a true lifestyle brand. Like this was going to be something that could be around for generations. This was not, hey, we're building this type of subscription product or whatnot. Like we were taking a little bit of a different approach, I think at that time than a lot of other consumer brands right now.
No, I think that that's one of the commonalities I'm seeing in the brands who have thrived and are surviving through this kind of craziness.
Yeah.
Is they made that pivot. Like,
yeah,
they made that pivot to, they got a beachhead with one killer product, but then they didn't rest and they kept pushing and they spread out.
Totally.
Rather than just trying to have one thing.
Yeah. And by the way, like there were so many, I mean, like, you know, our stroller's our first product. Like that was our baby. We killed it. We launched the stroller in March 2019. We killed it and took it off the site in August 21. So, you know, it took us a while to, A, we had to sell through the inventory, but like we knew though, even when we had it still on the site, that like the people were gravitating towards something else that wasn't that product.
Yeah.
Like they were gravitating towards the design of the high chair. They were gravitating towards the way the tableware looked and felt. And like that was what was happening. And so sometimes it's just, I mean, like it was our baby, but like we knew very quickly it was time to let go. And by letting go, it also allowed us to dive much deeper into our strategy of, you know, how do we go in the home and make people see that even more clearly.
Dude, love it. Did you guys split that up at all? Like what tactically, like did one of you focus on kind of new products? Was that a team effort? Like how did you tactically kind of make sure that you continued innovating and didn't just like talk about it, but never do it?
Well, what's crazy is like, if you go to our site right now, I'm not even 100% sure of the SKU count, or how, you know, how many products that we're selling right now. But we really only had three products, I think I mentioned, through 2021. So it took us capital and dollars and still like a certain amount of tolerance to like say, let's finally go after it. In 2022, we launched 29 individual new products. By far and away the most we ever had, really under, again, taking the thesis and a risk of like, our customer wants to come back, we just don't have enough for them. And in terms of like how we handled that, you know, really, I mean, luckily, you know, we brought on a VP of product and merchandising who just knew this should wait, and we did. It helped us think a lot about what it should be, the cadence of products, what are the right products for us to be launching, what does well on registries. That's obviously a big focus for us, and trying to crack that. So, so yeah, you know, it's definitely like a, I don't know if there's one person, it's definitely like a kind of team effort across the board.
Yeah, I think that's a key learning, though. Bringing in someone who understands product, there's kind of that inflection point when it's like you can finally afford that person.
Yep.
And it's amazing how much startups are using the resources to get the right people in the right order, even when you kind of need everyone at the same time. All these people, but
yeah, I agree. I think the only thing that I will say, you know, my co-founder and I. Especially my co-founder, you know, are very involved in product, especially what products are we going to make, why are we making them, and when. And I'll, you know, one of the pieces of feedback we used to get really early days, like, Jay, when I first met you, was like, you're not parents. like, how the hell, like, what do you know? I really do believe great entrepreneurs do have a certain amount of naivete around what they're doing, or to ultimately break the mold of what has traditionally happened. And even still to this day, I, you know, not to pat our own backs, but I give my co-founder and I a lot of credit for still feeling like we're outsiders in the category, and trying to, yeah, like we have kids and we get to test our products on them now. And, you know, all of those fun things that I never got to do before. And I wish I had the opportunity to. But I think that like level of, again, like not knowing and being totally fresh has really been what has driven a lot of the innovation of the company, and to think completely outside the box for what traditionally has happened in our space.
So almost any time I hear that's not how it's done, it's like, okay, I'm probably on the right track.
Right, exactly.
That's probably something a pretty like good signal that
exactly
I'm doing
exactly.
something right.
Exactly, for sure.
So, dude, that's awesome. What's been a surprising challenge as you've grown? As you guys have seen this growth, I mean, you guys have just done an amazing job. What's been one of the things you didn't expect to happen, but that you've had to learn along the way?
Yeah, I think the number one thing I've personally learned has been just through the operational complexities of having a consumer business this day and age. I mean, if we think about like the time period, like Lalo started working on in 2017, we're now in 2023, and we launched, like I said, 4 years ago in 2019. You're talking about Trump tariffs. You're talking about COVID. You're talking about supply chain. You're talking about outbound shipping prices and surcharges. And how do you mitigate as much of that risk as possible? And how do you become as shrewd as possible with a business? You know, if it's figuring out the right debt facilities, I think that has been, to me, something, you know, up to that point, I mean, things were pretty smooth sailing. I mean, the price of containers had remained flat for, you know, 10 plus years. Like, there wasn't as much volatility there as there really has been over the past 5 years. And I think that's been the thing that I've actually loved diving into the most, because if you can do it correct, or I shouldn't say do it correctly, if you can be very thoughtful and considerate and really focus on it, which a lot of people, I still think of like operations an afterthought, but if you can really get good at it, you can get a leg up way more so than on other brands, without most people even realizing. And I think that's something that we did exceptionally well. We got a little bit lucky along the way too. Like, don't get me wrong. But we've just like had to, we really focused on it. And I think it's something that has really proven fruitful, and something I would have never told you I would have liked to have worked on, or I had never done it before in my life, to be honest, before starting this. So that was definitely something surprising. That's been, I think, a huge, though, you know, overall boon for the business.
Yeah, I think that's, I I think that's so true. And I always say to people that so much of that VC and pitching, and this is where consumers kind of different. There's that whole, you know, pitching your idea, trying to get people to buy into your idea, get excited.
Yeah.
And then you actually have something that people buy and it's like, wait, we have to build a real business. Like,
yeah, totally.
That idea stuff was just like step one.
That was cool. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
And now it's like step two through 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Building an actual business.
Yeah,
that
just
can
the
last.
Yeah, exactly. And just the volatility that has happened is just, yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, for instance, like we have large products, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you're talking, you know, you have 10, 15 pound items in a high chair. And, you know, we were paying at one point $22,000 a container. Like that should have killed our business, you know, ultimately, if we weren't doing correct. And this in a period of, you know, high, you know, really high growth for us. Luckily, I literally just got a quote for a container now. It's now $1,750 a container, which is just bonkers. It doesn't make sense. So, you know, now we're living in the good days right now, but it was stressful for a minute there.
Dude, it's crazy. It's funny how that swung back. Everyone's like, all the freight companies are like, please start shipping things again. I know you guys bought too much stuff, but
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
get the wheels
moving. It's crazy. Exactly.
Dude, that's interesting. Any resources? I think that's one of the hardest thing that as companies grow, they just don't think about. We just are. Went to school for entrepreneurship, like at a major university, and we never talked about any of that stuff. We just talked about pitches and how do you come up with a good idea and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I need to like run a real company.
Yeah.
Any resources that have helped?
I mean, it's funny. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Again, I think, I always knew that I wasn't like good at it. Like I knew nothing, like literally. So
yeah.
I actually knew nothing about it. Like straight up, like figuring out, oh, we need, got a book container. There's duties and tariffs maybe. And then we got it. Like I never had done any of that. And so again, that level of not knowing, I think allowed me to just like, I feel like I just spoken to 1,000 people and their mothers and their fathers to like, you know, ultimately get a sense of like, what is the best way for us to do it? By just taking as many data points as possible. And so, there hasn't been one resource. It's really just been through the experience, just through talking with tons and tons and tons of people, because I didn't know. So every time I never made an assumption that I did know, I'd just be like, oh, let me talk to this person who knows better than I do. And now, you know, luckily I've been able to take all of that and, you know, be able to form my own thoughts and opinions and how we do things now.
The MBA of Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
you just,
something like
you went
that.
Through it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Get a supply chain internship before you start a company, because there's a lot of those things.
It's P&Ls so helpful.
And operations. Yep. And
all the acronyms.
That's
all
the
acronyms.
The acronym side of the company.
Exactly.
It's awesome. So now you guys are here. What's the next vision? Where you guys want to head? I think that's another thing I love about entrepreneurs. Like we were saying, we've seen each other over the years, but in those 5 years, you guys have executed on so many of the things that you originally were thinking. Where has that vision shifted?
Yeah. You know, like I mentioned, like on our focus on the home, I think you'll start to see us as a brand continue to expand out and continue to build those ecosystems within each of those rooms. I'll say, like, you know, as a business, we're very focused on our own, you know, our customer today, and, you know, continuously making them fall in love with us and figuring out the best ways to do so. That might be feel outside the norm of what like we traditionally do. So we're really excited about some of the things we're working on. No announcements yet, but there's some really fun things and cool things coming up that we're excited about.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, for anyone listening, what kind of call to action would you have? Obviously, go to the website if you have kids. Amazing products.
Yep. Go to the website. If you do have any questions, you can always feel free to email me. I'm always available. Just greg@meetlalo, honestly. Happy to answer questions. If you want a discount code, let me know. I might be able to throw one of those in there too. Just come check us out and spread the word.
Love it. Well, dude, thanks for coming on.
Of course.
And
thanks for having me.
Being a friend. Love it.
Of course. Love it too. Anyway, great to chat, Jay.
Thanks, man.